Greetings to all of you, in Jesus' name. I must say I've been richly fed already this morning. There's a lot to ponder there, from the opening to Brother Chris's thoughts there, and then with the children's lesson. What are the characteristics of my life? Where do I fit in? How do I begin? What do I say? What more do I say? How do I try to conclude or bring to a close something that is so vast? I've shared a couple messages on prayer in last year. And it almost feels like I need an hour or more of review. But I'm just not sure what to say or how to begin here. It's been a little while. And also the subject is beyond me. We think of prayer, we think of God, we think of who we're praying to and all that. It just leaves me again without words or how to even to express what I want to portray. It just leaves me groping and grasping again this morning. But with God's help, try to share a few thoughts that I have written down on this. Try to conclude whatever there is to conclude. And I trust that we're not just sharing more information, but like to bring a close to something that we've begun in this work of prayer. Last year, we looked at a couple different characters of the Bible and their prayer life. We looked at Luke 11:1, where the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." We looked at some different characters to glean from their prayer life. Prayer. You know, what is prayer? Someone came to George Mueller and asked how or why, you know, about all his answered prayers. Some put a number of 20,000 of answered prayers to George Mueller's life. I don't know about the number. It doesn't really matter. But he did have a lot of answered prayers, and this is what he said. "Have faith in God, Brother Chris. Have faith in God," is what he said. For different people, prayer would be defined in different ways, probably. Some would say it is a work. Some would say prayer is a personal love relationship with God. Some would say it's the union of believers' thoughts with God. Some would say prayer is worshipful. I believe it is all these and more. A calling on God for relationships, deliverance. It is interceding for their souls. It is asking for wisdom. The list goes on. So to go over all that was said previously, I probably will not do, nor review. So as I said before, anyone, message, can stand alone. There's none that I've shared that really build on the other. And they are recorded. If you have any desired to listen to what we're talking about this morning. So where do we learn? Who do we go to? Who is going to teach us to pray? Can we not, or should we not, look to the Master Himself? The ones that went before us to show us the way, who is to teach us but the teacher Himself? Was this not one of the trademarks throughout the ages that true Christians prayed? Was this not the encouragement men and women found while in prisons and dungeons for their faith in God, that they could pray to God? Was it not prayer that men, ministers of God, spent hours in? Was it not the means of communication to God of heaven for the needs of individuals and the world? So shall it not be that way today? What is our identification? Am I, or are we, identified as a praying people? Are we identified by our devotion to God, or what are we, I, known by? We look back and read and study godly men's lives on the subject of prayer. We follow the line of Christians throughout time and are challenged by them, and also blessed because of their encouragement. But we must quit looking back and look to the Lord. Today is our day. Today is our time. What will the future say of us? What will we leave behind for people to identify us as? Shall we pray? Father, again, we pause this time, this moment, this hour, to cry out to You, to look to You, to worship You, to call upon You. You truly are the author of life. You're the just one. You're the beginning and the end. There is no one besides You that can do what You have done. Lord, as we think of what the future holds, as we ponder, we only have to think and realize and know how You have led us in the past. Lord, that our faith might be in You and no other thing. That our love and how we love would come from You, Lord. And as we heard this morning, the characteristics and how we treat others, how we want to be treated, and all this Lord, You have taught us. You've shown us the way to walk. You've taught, and You've taught, and You gave us examples, and You gave us parables, and You continue to teach us and to show us. Father, I pray that You would continue to fill these earthly vessels with Your grace and Your power, that we might display, as You have desired from ages past, to have a people that display Your glory. Father, we want to be that people that displays Your glory. In here in 2016, in the midst of a world that is apostatizing and is walking away from You, that is living in darkness and loving it. Father, that we may bring light, that we might be light bearers, that we may carry Your name, that we may be about Your business, that we may be all for the kingdom, as Your word has taught us. Father, here we are this morning. I pray that You would take this time to speak to each one of our hearts this way, that would draw us closer to You and would continue to manifest Yourself through us. Father, we just want that. We want to be be a people that is submitted to Your will and purpose for each one of our lives, as individuals and as a body. So I pray that You be in our midst here this morning. We ask that You have preeminence and have Your way in each one of our hearts. Bless these few crumbs. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we want to look at the author of life, the Lord Jesus, and try to glean from Him on this subject of prayer. This is not all conclusive. A few things, few nuggets, hopefully that will bless us together and encourage us to go on. His life was a prayer, and prayer was His life, Jesus Christ. We want to break up this message in two parts. First, we'll look at His prayer life. And then we want to look at some of His prayers that He prayed or how to pray. Jesus' prayer life. To Jesus, prayer was important. It was not like the life preservers on an airplane where it is tucked away out of sight. But it is there if you need it. Type of a thing. It was how He started His day. I have a verse that I don't have written down, sorry. Mark 1:35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." This is where He received His direction and strength for the day. This is where He was connected with His Father. Notice the relationship, and notice the time frame, where and where. It was a great while before day. In a solitary place. Before the noise of the day came, when we think of, I guess it was in Indonesia, I had to think of that, when there's a time in the morning when the horn started tooting, the things started going, and there's just a whole commotion outside, and there's just a ruckus. I had to think that maybe it was a little bit more pronounced then. But even in your home, You wake up before the family and it's quiet. It's nice and quiet, and then the children start waking up and everybody starts waking up, or you call them to wake up, then you know there's a moving around and there's some distractions and there's that the I don't want to call it the noise of the day, but there's distractions there then that come then. But this was a great while before day that Jesus went out in a solitary place. And met with God. Communed. Fellowshipped. This is where He drawed His strength for the day. And there, prayed. All alone before God. He found a closet that was quiet and free from all the distractions of life. Free from all the other people. All alone. And there he had communion with God. Fellowship. Early in the morning. Sweet hour of prayer. A great while before day. What is a great while? How do we define a great while? You know, sometimes throughout the year, it's getting daylight at 5:30. You see the dawn breaking, see the light in the sky, especially on a clear morning. This affects us, don't it? It's a challenge to get up, especially when I don't go to bed early. I'm a morning person. But when I don't get to bed in time, then it can be a struggle. And we hit the ground running because we have a lot to do, a lot to get done. Schedule's full. It's packed. Prayer. May we take time to pray. May we start our day off with God. And I'm speaking to a people that, you know, this is kind of silly. No, we assume that this is all in place. We assume that everybody does this. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself too here. But we need, I need encouragement. Amen. I need encouragement. I need you all to speak into my life and to encourage me in this area. May we show God our need of Him. He knows our need of Him. He knows that we have need of Him. But what is prayer? Is also agreeing with God, right? So we come to God. He knows our situations. He knows what we're going through. He knows the innermost things of our hearts. But we agree with God. God, I need you. God already knows that. That's okay. Tell Him, God, I need you. God don't just want all you can do for Him. He wants you. Yes, it's a blessing to work in the vineyard. But God wants fellowship. We see that throughout Scriptures. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New. God wanted a special, precious, peculiar people set apart to display His glory. Prayer was important to Jesus, and it should be important to us. Luke 5:16, another scripture. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. This is right in between the time He cleanses a leper and He heals a paralytic. In between those times, it says, has inserted this verse here. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. I picture in the middle of the day, God in human flesh, Jesus is going about His day and He's healing this person. He's going about the needs of the world, needs of the people. And He just feels he needs to get alone. He's always surrounded with the masses and He just feels that He needs some quiet time. He needs a place alone. So He withdrew Himself from the crowds and went into the wilderness. Connected with God. God, I need you. How am I going to deal with this next thing that's coming my way? Give me wisdom. We wouldn't think that Jesus would need that, but he showed these things as examples for us. In the midst of serving, He gives us a picture of drawing wisdom from God. He takes Himself away into the wilderness and prayed. The middle of the day where everything that life holds, all the distractions, He goes in the wilderness and quiets His heart before God. Isn't that a picture of prayer without ceasing? Having a constant connection, even in the middle of the day, in the middle of serving people, withdrew Himself and prayed. Luke 16:12, and it came to pass in those days that He went into the mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God. Here we see another glimpse of Christ's life and the importance of prayer. If you haven't turned there, I would like you to turn there. Luke 6, chapter 12, or verse 12, I'm sorry. Luke 6, verse 12. Christ's life of prayer. He found a solitary place to pray. And he stayed there all night. Came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Why? Let's read the next verse. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Whom also he named apostles. There's an important event in his life. He was going to choose his disciples. He prayed all night. He met with God all night. This was a big event. Jesus chose his disciples. But he met with God. He wanted wisdom. He wanted input. He wanted God's wisdom and who this is going to be. So he was there in the mountain all night. He wanted direction. He wanted input. He needed to hear from God. Is that my practice? Something of great importance comes up and I spend the whole night in prayer. I'm afraid I'll lose more sleep. We may stay up late doing many things, but I wonder if prayer is one of them. Sometimes work late in the evening, but we wouldn't think of going to a prayer meeting, let alone staying real late. All night in prayer. Jesus did. Did he have to? Probably not. But he was giving us an example, the importance of prayer. We have important things come up in our lives, and they must align themselves up with the Word of God. I don't think it will work to pray in these conditions selfishly, like we heard this morning in the children's lesson, where it's just about self. That is not what we get from these accounts. Some of these things have had eternal consequences, disciples. How many souls did they affect for eternity? It changed the eternal destiny for many people, many souls. Jesus prayed. His private life was his secret to his public life. So what will it be with us? Prayer was important to Jesus. Another thing, Jesus' prayers were influential. Think of that picture in Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus was praying, in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They seen Jesus praying and it affected them. Lord, teach us to pray. We never read in the scriptures that they asked Jesus about to preach or to heal or to perform miracles, but they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. We too read. After generations have gone by, we have this opportunity also to read these accounts and we marvel and are influenced by them. On the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke 9:29, when he prayed, it influenced himself, it influenced Jesus. When he prayed, the fashion of his countenance altered, and even his raiment was white and glistering. And read the account of Moses. When Moses spent time with God there on the mountain, when he came, he veiled his face. It has its effect. When we spend time with God in prayer, it has its effect. It has its influence. And we have the account where Jesus brought Lazarus forth in John 11:39-45. Jesus said, "Take away the stone, Martha. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, was dead. Of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. They were influenced by that cry to the Father and the resurrection of the dead. And this is why he said it. Because of the people which stand by, I said it. And by this, many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things that Jesus did and believed on him. The non-believers were affected by it too. They were influenced by the prayer. Jesus' prayer was intense. Luke 22:41-44. Maybe we'll just start in 39. And he came out and went, and he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. And he withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Here we see the intensity of Jesus' prayer. He looked into that bitter cup and said, Father, remove this cup from me. Even to a point where an angel came from heaven and had to strengthen him. And being in agony, praying earnestly, his sweat were as great drops of blood. Can you imagine being in such a desperate situation? No one to stand by you. The ones you thought were are sleeping in this moment of time. What about when I face a crisis? Can I submit and accept the Father's will for me? Some have lost faith. Some have turned bitter. Some worry. But Christ said, "Not my will, but thine be done." See the condition of his heart. His heart posture was right. Notice in verse 41, he kneeled down and prayed. You know, that's a wonderful posture, to kneel in prayer. We do that. Low to the ground, humbling ourselves, and coming to God with a right posture and attitude of heart. But see the intensity of Jesus there in the garden. Agony. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. There's been different thoughts about blood, the sweat drops of blood. I think we'll just leave that. But there was an intense moment there in history. There was an intense moment for Jesus where he gave up his will to the Father's. Also, when Jesus was on the cross, the intensity of Jesus crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The feeling of separation, the feeling of God's presence left in those hours of darkness, and then crying out in desperation and feeling this separation and feeling this darkness just overwhelming him. This shows his humanity. But he's still looking to God. My God, my God. Why? There's times we ask why, don't we? We ask ourselves why. It's not a wrong question, but may we not get carried away with it. We still look to the Lord in the midst of those questions. Jesus' prayers were intercessory. You know, we talked about some of these things before in some of these other messages, and some of these things we're just going over again, so you bear with me. But for the sake of looking at Jesus' life and his prayers, we're going to go over it again. We could look at different accounts where he interceded. I think of Lazarus' tomb. He interceded that the people might believe. His plea for Peter was that his faith fail not. And we also have the account in John 17, which we'll come back to a little bit later here. In Hebrews 7:25, we have this verse, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." In Romans, likewise, Romans 8:26-27, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Here's the Spirit making intercession for us. "And he that searcheth the hearts," verse 27, "knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us." Here in 2016, over 2,000 years later, there's Jesus. Steve has seen him standing at the right hand of God. Picture him sitting there in the right hand of God, make intercede in our behalf. Father, that's another one of mine. Then also in Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There at Calvary, where they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right and one, the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And of the inscription also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And all the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus interceding for the people. Jesus interceding for his enemies, the ones that scourged him, the one that beat him, the ones that put a crown of thorns on him. Soldiers mocked him. Rulers derided him. Malefactors railed on him. I'm not sure that we would have been any different. And yet, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His own creation didn't recognize him, did not receive him. His own special people he wanted for himself spit in his face. And yet, Father, forgive them. Maybe we are too much like Zechariah when he died. He still had the Old Testament mentality. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. The Lord look upon it and require it. He's asking the Lord to pay them back. But what about Stephen when they were stoning him in Acts 7? Did he not have the mind, the attitude of Christ when he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? What love, what compassion for the ones that are doing you harm. May we be filled with the love of God so much that we too can forgive and intercede like that. Or would we too say, he's just getting what he deserves? Try to think of how we respond to government, laws, taxes, individuals. You know, we have rights, don't we? We have rights. Intercessory. The second part here, we'd like to look at how or what Jesus prayed. There's one scripture in Matthew that Jesus said, pray in this manner. Then we can look at it. We're going to look at his prayer there in John 17. Matthew 6. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the manner that Jesus taught for us how to pray. Our Father. Not singular as one child. Our. And he addresses the one to whom he prays to. Father. Identify him for who he is. Worshipful. Father. Creator God. Also here we have a picture of a father looking down on his child and loving him. And a child looking unto his loving father. Our Father. And holy is his name. Whose name is holy, we have in Isaiah 57. And he dwells in heaven. He dwells in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Think of heaven sometimes as elevation. Think of heaven, some place where God dwells or God lives. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. This speaks of God's transcendence. What is God's transcendence like? What does that mean? Does that mean that he's higher than everything else? That means he's higher up than everybody else or everything else? I don't believe that this heaven here is talking about. Maybe it's just a reference. I don't know. Maybe it's just a reference of who this God we're talking about is. It's God that dwells in heaven. So where is heaven? Heaven is where God dwells. We sometimes as humans think of as, you know, when we think of heaven, we automatically look up. And that's probably right. God is higher than we are. It says that 'tis heaven in his throne and earth is his footstool. So we think of the footstool is usually lower than the where he's sitting. But it's transcendence. How can we describe this? Someone has said that the archangel, in this respect, is in equal ground as the caterpillar. Because they're both created beings. God is beyond our comprehension. God is higher than that. God transcends above that. Think of the archangel we think of as somebody, you know, that has a prominent place. And that's right, he does. But them both being created before God, they're both created beings. They're both, well, we use terms higher and lower, they're both lower than he is. That helps me with that. And this is who we are addressing or praying to. One that is so lofty, that is so beyond our comprehension. In respect of height or words fill me. But this is who we're addressing to. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray for his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. We believe in the kingdom, his kingdom, and we are glad to be part of his kingdom. And may God's will be done in his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Picture with me heaven. How does this look like? I think of peace. I think of instant obedience. When a cry goes out, it's heeded. Worship. I think of worship. I think of singing. I think of love. I think of order. I think of, as God's Word says, we heard this morning, preferring others better than ourselves, above ourselves. And that's the picture that God wants for His people here on earth, His kingdom here on earth, as it is in heaven. And this is what we're praying for. This is the picture that Jesus is giving that we should be praying for, that His kingdom would come, His will would be done here on earth, and display His glory here in human flesh and human life for the world to see that God is ruling yet. Each one of us has the ability to make a difference in that picture. May Thy will be done in my life. May God's will be done in my life. Pray for His kingdom. In this manner, pray ye. Next we have, give us this day or our daily needs. Now, we can ask for our needs that we might have. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How does God forgive us our debts? As we forgive others. How do I forgive others? That's a good measuring device on how God forgives us. Think of 1 John. How can we love God? How can you say that you love God whom you don't see? And hate your brother whom you can see. You know, we probably ask for forgiveness from God many times, don't we? But if we hold those things in our hearts, if we hold something in our hearts towards a brother, a sister, if we're unwilling to forgive because we have rights and we have things that we hold against them, how can the Lord forgive us? How does this work? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God tempts no man. That's what James says. So we can't say, I'm tempted of God. But He does let trials come our way. And I think the book of Job. God did not initiate Job's difficulties or trials. Satan did, and God allowed him to. But take comfort that God will not give us more than we can handle. And God can stay the evil one back from bringing anything in our lives. I believe there's things that God lets us experience or go through only to strengthen us. But here, in this prayer, it said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That can be a prayer that we pray. We can pray for the right responses. We can pray for the right attitudes. We can pray that we would pass the trials and tests as God continues to purify us and our motives, thoughts, etc., that we might be a right picture, a right representation of His will and purpose in this life. And then, For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Then again, we take the focus off of ourselves and worship God. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory forever. Everything belongs to God, and He must have preeminence in all things. It is His kingdom, it is His power, and it is His glory. And He said, my glory will I not give to another. So we have a picture of this prayer beginning with God. With worship to the Father. And in between is where our petitions lie. So they begin and end with worship to the Father. Isn't that just right? He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. From eternity past to eternity future, He is the great I Am. And we're a little speck in between the past and the future. John 17. I wanted just to read this, and I think I will. This is, I'm trying to read it slowly. Can we follow along and just meditate upon Jesus' words and what He's praying? Think about what He's praying here in John in 17. And may we be encouraged by it. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I prayed for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Think of God's children. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There in Matthew, Jesus was teaching us how to pray. This one is his prayer, and there is much in here. This one's filled with intercession for his people, his followers, for the church. We see Jesus' heart fully exposed here in this chapter. His prayer for his people to be one, unified. Why? That the world would see and know that Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, was sent by God the Father. Verses 1 through 5, here we have Jesus praying for himself. Verses 6 through 10, he prays for those that are his, not for the world. 11 through 16, that they might be kept. Keep them through thine own name. 17 through 19, that they might be sanctified. This is his prayer. Verse 11, 20 to 23, that they may be united, one. Verse 3 again, that they may know that thee, God, and Jesus, whom thou hast sent. His prayer in verse 11, keep them in thy name. Verse 15, keep them from the evil one. 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Verses 20 and 21, that they may all be one. Verse 21, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Verse 22. That they may be one as we are one. Verse 23. That they may be perfected in unity. And verse 24. That they may be where I am to behold my glory. What a prayer for oneness, for holiness and perfection, that we might have his joy fulfilled in us. What a prayer. So how do we close? To Jesus, prayer was important. He spent much time in prayer. Did he need to? obviously. What about us? He calls us to pray. Believe that to Jesus, prayer was important. And we see it being influential. We see the intensity of His prayers and the intercessory of His prayers. There are a lot of questions we could ask. Prayer was important. We see that. When important events came, Jesus was out on the mountain praying all night. It was influential. It influenced the people around Him. It influenced the people that were close to Him. It influenced the non-believers that were there with Him in some of those cases that they too believed. Who am I influencing? And how? What about our children? Are we bringing them along with us? If we say yes, where are we bringing them to? And what are we bringing them to? Am I where I need to be? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I where I could be? Probably not. But what are we bringing our children to? What kind of influence do we have upon them? Influence. Intensity. Do people sense the intensity of our prayers? The intensity of our being, of our lives? Intercessory. Jesus' prayers were intercessory. He was interceding for His people that they would be one, even as He and the Father were one. That was my burden for these messages. For us as individuals and us as a church here, if we begin worrying about the future, it's because we forgot how God led us in the past. Sometimes I have to think of the pigs and the dogs. I really do. Sometimes I think about the pigs and the dogs. Where does the sow go once she's washed? Right back to the mire. Where does the dog go? Try to chase him away from his vomit. Finds his way back. We must be careful that we don't go back to the things that we've once been delivered from. And we must be careful not to look back too far. In our past, continue to look to God and realize our need for Him. We have some insight here in Jesus' prayer life, and how he viewed it, and then insight in one of his prayers. Prayer is like fire. It is meant to burn. The droopy-eyed, lukewarm mumblings we call prayer invite God to deny our requests. It is not the arithmetic of our prayers and how many they are, nor the rhetoric of our prayers, how eloquent they are, nor the geometry of our prayers, how long they are, nor the logic of our prayers, how argumentative they are, nor the method of our prayers, how orderly they are, that God cares about. Fervency of spirit is what captures his heart. We get distracted by the things of this life pretty easily. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, maybe you don't. Sometimes we don't have time. I don't think we'll make it without. I know we won't. And we're not going to win any battles unless they're won on our knees. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full.